for argument, United States v. Radomski. Ms. Kister.
Good morning. Thank you, and may it please the court. Counsel. As the court is aware, Mr. Radomski, the defendant in this case, was convicted of conspiracy to deliver ecstasy. And specifically, he was convicted of joining with his cohort, Mr. Zawentowski, I'm going to have trouble with all these Z names this morning, to intentionally and deliberately and knowingly deliver ecstasy or sell ecstasy to Mr. Zuchko. And even under de novo review, which I'll acknowledge is a steep burden for me this morning, I would submit that there was nothing in this record to indicate an intent by either Mr. Radomski or his cohort to sell ecstasy to this third party, the informant. There's no history here that of that kind of relationship between these individuals. If you look at the record and if you re-examine the facts as we know them under de novo review, there were two earlier conversations between the informant, Mr. Zuchko, and Mr. Zawentowski regarding ecstasy, and these were kind of incidental conversations as they were talking about stolen cars, which seemed to be the primary venture of Mr. Zawentowski. On two occasions, he offhandedly said, "I can give you some ecstasy as well," and nothing came of that. He never had any ecstasy on these occasions. He never showed any ecstasy. He was never known to have any ecstasy. It wasn't until January of 2003, some months later, that Mr. Zuchko, at the bidding of the police, contacts Mr. Zawentowski and says, "Okay, I'll buy some ecstasy from you now." And there's a tiny window in there at the beginning of January of 2003 where they meet and they set up the buy date or the sell date. And again, no indication anywhere in the record that, in fact, Mr. Zawentowski or Mr. Radomski, for that matter, has the ability or the capacity.
Well, Zawentowski has some prior involvement with ecstasy, doesn't he?
He has some, which is attenuated, Your Honor. I'd submit that.
He bought some stuff.
He'd bought some stuff. He'd sold some stuff that we know of almost 3 years earlier.
Does Radomski have any history with ecstasy?
Mr. Radomski is a cipher in this case. He's figuratively, actually, literally in the shadows. I'll concede that he was probably the individual who drove Mr. Zawentowski to the transaction at the restaurant on January 10th. He probably got some of the money when they stole it from the informant. He's involved with this individual, but no, there's no indication whatsoever in the record that he's had anything, any history whatsoever with ecstasy. And what's more is when his home and his car are searched the very next day, there's no indication whatsoever of any ecstasy. There's no trappings of his being a dealer or a distributor.
Has he had some criminal record with involving ecstasy consumption?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor. I was not the trial attorney, but there's certainly nothing in the record which would so indicate he's had any dealings whatsoever in that substance or any controlled substance. And all we know about his...
Is he employed?
I believe not, Your Honor. And, you know, I'll go so far as to concede that he and his buddy
are hoods of some sort,
running some kind of scam. But all we know on this occasion is that they got $8,000 and high-footed off, and there was no ecstasy.
You're saying this is planned scam from the start?
I'm saying, Your Honor, that had Mr. Zawentowski had ecstasy to deliver and had intended to give it or sell it to Mr. Zuchko on January 9th, or January 10th, and found out on the 9th when they met that he couldn't get it for whatever reason. His supplier had fallen through, or he just didn't have it. He would have put him off. He would have said, I thought I had it. I thought I could get it by tomorrow, but I can't. So let's put this transaction off until I get it. There was never any...
Yeah, but that wouldn't involve Radomski. that token, unless Radamsky is the supplier.
That's true.
This conversation back and forth on the phone, is it real well packaged and all this, I assume your position is that was all a scam for the benefit of Mr. Zawatowski.
That was so, to make it look authentic, Your Honor.
Right. And it was just a scam, and then he gets off and takes off in the car, and then they divide up the money between themselves and the girls and whoever else got their hand in the till.
Well, and particularly given that the impetus for this transaction came from the informant, from Mr. Zuchko. He's the one who contacts Mr. Zawatowski in early January and says, okay, now I'm ready to buy some of your stuff. And we have no way of knowing that Mr. Zawatowski was in business in January of 2003, had it to deliver, could get it to deliver. But I would submit that if he intended to, in fact, sell it to the informant and for some reason couldn't make good on that, he would have postponed the sale.
Now,
he
Zuchko
didn't.
Was, at that point, whatever you call him, confidential source or something.
Correct.
And so he's doing this for the police.
That's correct.
Okay. What federal law would be violated if they actually did deliver something, a placebo instead of ecstasy?
It's a good question, Your Honor, and I'm not sure that would have come under 846 or not.
Wouldn't it be wire fraud?
It could well have been, given that there were...
Wireless fraud, right? A cell phone. But
yes.
You do have a use of communications.
Well, yes.
What were you suggesting?
No, well, isn't it a federal offense to sell, pretend to sell cocaine and sell a baking soda instead? That still violates one of the provisions of...
Well, and I believe there is a statute for that, but in this case, we didn't even have that. We had nothing but taking of money.
This is a conspiracy to pretend to sell ecstasy.
Yes, I'll go that far. Or it was an agreement between these two men. They had a willing buyer. They had a guy who wanted ecstasy. They didn't have any ecstasy. They couldn't get any ecstasy. They never intended to deliver any ecstasy. They got together and they said, "Let's tell him. We'll give it to him on the 10th. Take his money and run." And that's what they did. And there was nothing to indicate to the contrary.
What happened to Zawatowski?
Your Honor, I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. He was not tried along with Mr. Radovsky. He was not produced as a government witness.
There's mention of his Zawatowski's former source, somebody named Ostrega.
Was that
a source? Somebody arrested him? Is he a convicted source of ecstasy? Or do you know?
The record was murky at best on that. I believe all we know is that there had been a transaction or two between Mr. Ostrega and Mr. Zawatowski some years earlier in 1999 or 2000 where one or both of them bought or sold 100 pills of ecstasy to the other, along with a stolen car transaction. And I think that was really the business that Mr. Zawatowski was in. I think he ran a stolen car ring. He used Ostrega to help him do that. He transported stolen cars for him, and they had a little side thing going at one point in time on one or two occasions.
But the reason the government says, why didn't they do that with Zuchko? But it was Zuchko that initiated the ecstasy contact.
Yes.
And so he wasn't interested in cars, so they sold him what, or took his money for what he was interested in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Kister. Mr. Histon?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Clifford Histon, and I represent the United States in this case. Contrary to what counsel has just claimed, the evidence in this case clearly was sufficient to sustain the jury's verdict. And I respectfully submit that we are not here to try the evidence again.
I don't think there was any evidence.
Well, there was evidence presented to the jury, and I think the important thing for us to focus on
is evidence, that clearly, that Radomski joined a scheme to defraud Zuchko. But there isn't any evidence that I've seen that Radomski has had joined a conspiracy to sell ecstasy.
I'd like to speak to that, Your Honor. What the evidence that the jury heard was, before they returned their unanimous guilty verdict, which is entitled to great deference, as Your Honor knows, is that Mr. Zavitovsky did have criminal dealings with the confidential informant in the past. The jury heard that...
But what's the evidence about Radomski?
With respect to him, we know that, and I'll gladly get directly to that point, Mr. Zavitovsky did offer on three separate occasions over a year and a half period of time ecstasy to the informant.
You are still not bringing in Radomski.
On the day of the transaction, Mr. Radomski drove Mr. Zavitovsky to the deal. While Mr. Zavitovsky was in the restaurant...
We know exactly what happened. But what is the evidence that Radomski agreed with Zawistowski to sell ecstasy?
In this conspiracy case, I believe, as in all conspiracy cases, evidence is circumstantial.
I wouldn't waste my time on generalities.
The evidence is circumstantial, Judge. It most certainly is. And the evidence is that he communicated during the course of the actual drug deal with the drug dealer by cell phone. We know that the jury heard evidence that Mr. Radomski was on the cell phone talking to the drug dealer in real time as the deal was transpiring. There was not one...
Wait, what did Radomski say to Zawistowski?
The evidence that the jury heard was that he called the dealer, and the testimony was what Mr. Zavitovsky heard Mr. Radomski say. Mr. Radomski did not testify, so what we heard was one half of that phone call where Mr. Zavitovsky said to Mr. Radomski, "Do you have it? Are you here?"
What did Radomski say?
Well, inferring from the one half of the conversation, that was all that we could hear.
Well, if you want to scam somebody out of $8,000 by pretending to be in a drug deal, that's what you're going to say.
True, but I would respectfully submit that you don't have to have the theatrics of a staged telephone call in order to do the ripoff.
But there's another reason besides what Judge Evans mentioned, and that is that in this business, it is very risky to give the buyer the impression that you're by yourself. Because Zawistowski thinks that Zuzko is a real drug dealer. And Zuzko thinks that Zawistowski thinks that he's a real drug dealer. Well, if it were a real deal, Zawistowski would want Zuzko to know that there's someone, right? Someone you're not going to see. Someone in the background. So, and that protects you, right? So, to be realistic, you want to have an accomplice, and as Judge Evans says, you remember he's promised Zuzko that this stuff is going to be shielded in some way that's undetectable by dogs or whatever. So to support that, he says, you know, be sure it's nicely packaged. It all fits. It's all perfectly consistent with a conspiracy to defraud Zuzko. But there isn't any indication that anyone ever said that Zawistowski said to Radomski, let's get together and sell ecstasy to Zuzko for $8,000. Now, if they had such an agreement, and then they changed their mind and decided to just not deliver this stuff, that would be fine. That conspiracy would be complete. But I don't see any evidence that Radomski joined such a conspiracy.
In the scenario that you just outlined certainly was the defense theory of the case. The theory that the government produced at trial, the one that the jury believed and returned a unanimous...
But there's no... I don't see how a reasonable jury could believe beyond a reasonable doubt that your theory was more credible than the opposite theory.
Well, what the government argued in the case and what the jury certainly took to heart was that if this was a scam from the beginning, why wouldn't they come up with a scam that pertained to stolen cars? Because they had never done drug deals between themselves, but they had, in fact, bought and sold stolen cars between themselves.
Zuzko doesn't want a stolen car. Zuzko wants ecstasy. If someone comes to you and says, I want ecstasy, what do you turn around and say, I don't do ecstasy, but I have a used car that you might like? That's ridiculous.
Well, they had an ongoing relationship, and there was a continual state where Zavitovsky did
What's
have stolen cars.
Ongoing relationship with Zuzko?
Yes.
You're really suggesting that that Zawistowski should have offered him a used car?
Or a stolen new car, as he had done in the past, which would...
But the guy's asking for ecstasy.
Because he's being offered ecstasy. He's also being offered counterfeit currency and stolen cars.
Anyway, it has nothing to do with Radomski.
Well, the evidence that the jury heard was that Radomski was present during the deal, was that he participated in cell phone conversations.
Why would Radomski care? If they want to rip off Zuzhko, why would Radomski care whether you're going to offer him ecstasy that you're not going to deliver or a used car that you're not going to deliver?
Because they could charge three times more for a car, a stolen car, because they had in fact done such business in the past. That would have been the lucrative route had they wanted to do that.
If that's the lucrative route, why didn't they take that route?
That's the great question, Your Honor.
It's a great question. It just shows your theory is complete nonsense, is what it shows. You say the reason that this must have been an ecstasy conspiracy, is that they would have made more money with used cars.
What I'm saying is the reason we know that it wasn't
non sequitur.
What I'm saying is the reason we know it wasn't a ripoff from the beginning is because if it was, they could have found a better, easier way to do it because they had already gone down that path before.
All right, so that's a little better. But all that suggests is that maybe Zawistowski at some point thought he would sell the stuff, and then at some point he changed his mind. But we don't know at what stage Radomski was involved in this. Radomski may have come in after Zawistowski changed his mind.
That's possible, but that's not the evidence that was presented at trial.
There's no contrary evidence to that. There's no evidence as to when Radomski got involved, is there?
The evidence was that he was involved at the deal itself, Judge.
Yes, but that's long after Zawistowski has changed his mind, right?
Well, that's speculation. I mean,
it's speculation. It has to be afterwards. There isn't any ecstasy, right? And then what did happen to Zawistowski?
He pled guilty. I believe the record would show that Zawistowski did, in fact, plead guilty to conspiracy to distribute ecstasy.
You know, I just want to interject something here. Because I have the same skepticism. The only thing that troubles me, and from your point of view, is this instruction to the jury. If you find that there was never any agreement to distribute ecstasy, but there was only an attempt to scam the confidential informant, you should find the defendant not guilty.
Correct.
That's exactly the way they were instructed. And all this discussion we're having up here, I assume a jury would have, and that's what the only thing leaning in your favor. That's what the jury was asked to do with all of this evidence, and it said he was guilty, that apparently it was not a scam.
I agree, Your Honor. I mean, the jury was specifically instructed, if they believed the defense theory, they were to come back and acquit this defendant. And hearing that very clear instruction, and hearing the government's theory and the defense theory and some well-articulated arguments, they came back and to a person said, we believe.
Well, they probably didn't like the guy.
But
since there's no evidence, what's the other hypothesis?
There was circumstantial evidence, which is.
You didn't have any evidence, actually. You didn't have any evidence. Because your theory is no more likely than the defense theory.
So
you can't possibly get to proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Well, there were witnesses that this was proposed and purported to be an ecstasy deal. There was no evidence other than
There's evidence that Zawistowski represented to Zuzhko he's going to sell him, but there's nothing involving Radomski.
Radomski was a secondary co-conspirator with Zawistowski. I'll concede that.
There's evidence that he agreed to sell ecstasy.
The evidence was that he conspired with somebody who did, which makes him a conspirator.
No, it doesn't make him a conspirator because he has to know, he has to agree to sell ecstasy, not just agree to do something with Zawistowski and Zawistowski doesn't tell him what or tells him we're going to rip this guy off.
Yes, if this was not a conspiracy and you were just talking about a substantive offense, let's say Radomski meets with the informant and they have a discussion about selling heroin. And he says, I'll bring the heroin to you, you give me the money. So the money is exchanged. This is a substantive offense, not conspiracy. and you give them a package. Package one contains heroin, you got the offense. Number two, it contains something that's disguised to look like heroin. You have a federal offense. But if you give them a box that has Christmas cards in it, it's not a federal offense, is it?
It's not a drug offense, that's correct. It could be a fraud offense.
It's a fraud offense. And why should this be any different, this conspiracy?
Because the same legal requirement does not apply in conspiracy cases. You can conspire to do a transaction that ultimately involves sham narcotics.
Well, yes, but this this doesn't even involve, you haven't alleged it involves sham narcotics. You say it was a, they really wanted to sell ecstasy to this guy.
They claim.
That's what you say?
Yes, that's right. There was a well-thought-out, well-planned, clearly articulated and documented ecstasy transaction between the confidential informant and Zavitovsky. They negotiated price, quantity, time, location.
Why didn't you charge Radomski in the alternative with a scheme to defraud using the cell phone, right? Using the...
I can't speak to that. I don't think the answer to that is found in the record. But I believe that the government believed and proved beyond a reasonable doubt that it's because there was a conspiracy to distribute ecstasy.
Did Zavitovsky plead before or after this conviction?
I think the record shows he pled before Radomski went to trial. But the main point that I'd like to... I can see that I'm out of time.
Make your point. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is a jury verdict. This jury verdict is entitled to significant deference from this court.
You have conclusive weight. You don't want review.
The standards are very clear. The appellate courts, generally speaking, will not, try to overturn a jury verdict.
Trying to overturn it. We're looking for some evidence.
The evidence was his presence at the transaction and his telephone calls and his transportation of his co-conspirator.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Ms. Kister, do you have anything further? Okay. Thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not? Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of